morning. I was really amazed after looking through everything that I wanted to talk about. I looked at this song, and every single one of those words just perfectly summarizes all that I want to talk about. So, I think I'll expound a little bit. This morning I want to look primarily in the book of John. This topic of knowing the Lord, finish this in, 27 minutes or so. Not possible, not even possible with a lifetime. Not even all of us in all of our lifetimes could truly, fully express everything that there is to know in the Lord and everything that he's given to us. So I wanted to limit myself a little bit and just look at the book of John. And so hopefully we can find something new of the Lord. John chapter 21 is where we'll start, right at the end. John chapter 21, verse 12. Jesus says to them, "Come and dine." But none of the disciples dared inquire of him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, just thank you so much that it's not about me, it's all about you. Lord, I pray that this morning it would not just be a good word, a good message, Lord, but that it would truly be a building up of your church, that by your Holy Spirit, that's the only way that it's possible. So, Lord, we trust that your Spirit would move this morning. Lord, I just pray that we would know you and know you more and know you alone. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you. In looking through John, this phrase, "Who art thou?" really caught my attention. Seeing who is the Lord? What's he after? Who in the gospel knows who he is? Who kind of knows who he is? And who doesn't know who he is? And it's really interesting, all the things that you can find. And so we'll go through a number of stories this morning, and we'll start right at the beginning. So go back to John chapter 1. We'll be staying primarily in here, so keep your Bibles open. We'll be flipping around a lot. This is John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. On the morrow, he would go forth into Galilee, and Jesus finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him, of whom Moses wrote in the law and the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph, who is from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip says to him, "Come and see." This is another phrase that you see. There's, "Who art thou? Come and see. I believe I know him." We're going to be looking at those four phrases this morning. And some stories have all four, some have just two. But all in all, there are these simple steps that are leading up to knowing the Lord, and how the Lord uses that is really neat when we truly take a look at this. Philip says to him, "Come and see." In verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and says of him, "Behold, one truly an Israelite, in whom there is no guile." Nathanael says to him, "Whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Who are you?" Sort of. Jesus answered and said to him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he says to him, "Verily, verily, I say to you, henceforth ye shall see the heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This simple, sign of the Lord. This is another word that we find throughout, that there's a sign, they see the sign, and they believe. He declares, "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." He knows a little piece of who Jesus is now, just because of this simple little work. And he said, "You will see greater things than these, Nathanael." come and follow me. There's so much more that I want to show you. So there's that initial believing, but it's that going on to truly know the Lord that is the most beautiful and wonderful thing. Now looking over at John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we start off in verse 1 and 2. After these things, Jesus went away beyond the Sea of Galilee, or of Tiberias. And a great crowd followed him because they saw signs when he wrought upon the sick. So we see this great crowd, they saw signs and they came. So come and see because of the signs. And then what follows after that is there's 5,000 people that need to eat, and Jesus shares the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and feeds all of them. And it says in verse 14, the men therefore, having seen the sign which Jesus had done, said, "This is truly the prophet which has come into the world." Jesus therefore, knowing that they were going to come and seize him, that they might make him king, departed again to the mountain himself alone. See, they saw the sign, but they didn't really know who he was. They said, "This is the prophet," not "This is the Son of God." They wanted to make him king. They wanted what they wanted, not what Jesus wanted. They didn't want to know him. They wanted him to do what they wanted. They knew what they wanted, and that's what they were pursuing after. Going forward, Jesus goes to the other side of Galilee, of the Sea of Galilee, and all these people that had just received all the 5 loaves and 2 fishes they had been fed, they got in their boats and followed him. And Jesus said to them in verse 26, "Verily, verily, I say to you, ye seek me not because ye have seen signs, but because ye have eaten of the loaves and been filled. Work not for the food which perishes, but for the food which abides unto life eternal, which the Son of Man shall give you." Work for the food which abides to life eternal. Now, quickly, keep your finger in John chapter 6. I want to jump over to chapter 17. This is another word that comes up very often. And I thought about ending with this, but I think it's so important that we need to start with this and understand this going forward. Every time we see the words life eternal, this is what it really means. In John chapter 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life." So here is what eternal life is: that they should know thee. Knowing the Lord, that is eternal life. So in John chapter 6, "Work not for the food which perishes, but for the food which abides unto knowing the Lord, unto life eternal." Life eternal is living forever. It's never being separated. It's no more tears. But at the heart of it, it is knowing the Lord. And that is the most wonderful thing. And this is what we pursue. After this, in going back to John chapter 6, they answered him, "What sign then doest thou, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work?" They followed him in the first place because they saw signs. Then he fed 5,000. They saw another sign and they wanted to make him king. They followed him across the sea and they asked for another sign that they may believe. Certainly, they're not wanting what the Lord, they're not wanting another sign. As Jesus had already spoken, "You don't seek signs, you seek what I do. You seek just more food. Verily, verily, I say to you," this is in verse 32, "it is not Moses that has given you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." They said therefore to him, "Lord, ever give us of this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am." And let's stop right there. In knowing the Lord, I challenge each and every one of you, go through the Bible and look up the word "I am," that one little phrase. And every time Jesus says that, you find another little glimpse of who he is. So every time we see "I am," you find out who the Lord is. If you're taking notes, put a "I am" or a "thou art" column and just start writing all of these things. It's so precious to know all of this. So anytime Jesus says "I am," or another one says "thou art," we find another piece of who the Lord is. Verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst at any time. But I have said to you that ye have also seen me and do not believe. They saw, but they didn't believe. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will not at all cast out. And then going down to verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have life eternal, and I will raise him up in the last day. Jumping down to verse 44. No one can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him. It's by the Father that they can come to him. It has to be the will of God. He has to truly show them and reveal to their heart. It's two sides of the equation, that there's the coming to the Lord, but there's also that open heart so that we can receive from the Lord. And truly, these ones had a hardened heart and weren't willing to see what the Lord was truly after. As we see later on, they continued to be stubborn and they wouldn't hear what he said, and so he had to give them a hard word. As we see in verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless ye shall have eaten the flesh of the Son of Man and drunk his blood, ye have no life in yourselves. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life eternal, and I will raise him up in the last day. And what did they say in verse 60? Many, therefore, of his disciples, having heard it, said, this word is hard. Who can hear it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that disciples murmur concerning this, said to them, does this offend you? If then you see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before, it is the Spirit which quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken unto you are spirit and life. Listen to this. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have life eternal, and I will raise him up in the last day. No one can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. In verse 54, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life eternal, and I will raise him up at the last day. Words of life. These are wonderful things that can only be understood by the Spirit. Praise the Lord that he has hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them unto babes. That they saw they didn't need this, and they couldn't hear it. Starting again in verse 64, there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe and who would deliver him up. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no one can come to me unless it be given to him from the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went away back and walked no more with him. Jesus therefore said to the 12, will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life eternal, and we have believed and known that thou art the Holy One of God. We have believed and known. Here is one who knows the Lord. Here is one who truly saw him and knows who he truly is. Not only believing, not only seeing him, but truly knowing him. As it says in another passage, who do you say that I am? You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. As we already read, it's by the Father that these things are revealed. And what happens right after that? Get behind me, Satan. Your mind is on earthly things, not on the things of heaven. And so we see here these Jews, their eyes were on the things of earth, not on the things of heaven. And they couldn't hear this hard word. Going back to John chapter 4, we see the woman at the well. Jesus and his disciples come to Samaria. The disciples go in to get some food, and then a Samaritan woman comes out to draw water from the well. Jesus says to her, give me to drink. She says, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we shouldn't be talking. This never happens. And he responds to her, if you knew who it was that asked you, give me to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the water, the living water. And she said, how can you give me this living water? You don't even have a pot. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? Jesus answered and said to her in verse 13 of chapter 4, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. But the water which I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water, springing up into eternal life. The woman says to him, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Going down to verse 25, the woman says to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus says to her, I who speak to thee am he. And jumping to verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, come, see, a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ? They went out of the city and came to him. He told her that you've had 5 husbands and the man who you have right now is not actually your husband. This is not a thing to be proclaiming, but that was her gospel. That was what she wanted to share. I found him. He's the Messiah. He told me all things that I've ever done. Come and see. And what happened later? Verse 39. But many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the word of the woman who bore witness. He told me all the things I had ever done. When therefore the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to abide with them. And he abode there 2 days. And more, a great deal believed on account of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer on account of thy saying that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. So they came, they see, they believed. And then when they heard from Jesus, they knew him. They knew who he was. They knew that he was, thou art, the Savior of the world. Going forward to John chapter 8. Now, just one interesting note I just wanted to mention. Back in 4, the woman at the well asked him, art thou greater than our father Jacob? In this chapter it says, art thou greater than our father Abraham? Two people asking the same question. This is in John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to the Jews, but very different reactions to what he says thereafter. In John chapter 8, verse 2, we see that he is in the temple, and many came to listen to him. And moving forward to verse 12, again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, thou bearest witness concerning thyself, thy witness is not true. They've already written him off, not worth listening to. Verse 18, I am one who bears witness concerning myself, and the Father who has sent me bears witness concerning me. There's the two witnesses. They said to him, therefore, where is thy Father? Jesus said, ye know neither me, you don't know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, you would have known also my Father. Here's another thing we see very often through this book. If you know me, you would know my Father. If you know me, you know my Father. Moving down to verse 23, I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that ye shall die in your sins. For unless ye shall believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. They said therefore to him, who art thou? You say, I am he. Who art thou? There's that question. And Jesus said to them, altogether, that which I also say to you. I've already told you who I am. I am the light of the world. I am one who bears witness concerning myself. I am from above. I am not of this world. I already told you. But still you don't believe because you have your idea of what you want me to be. Verse 28, Jesus therefore said to them, when ye shall have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I do always the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many believed on him. Jesus therefore said to the Jews who believed on him, if ye abide in my word, ye are truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we have never been under bondage to anyone. How savest thou? How sayest thou ye shall become free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say to you, everyone that practices sin is the bondman of sin. So they believed on the Lord, but they wouldn't receive what he was saying. We don't need a savior. We don't need to be set free. We're already free. They couldn't see beyond themselves what they wanted to know. And then we see this difference. Jesus goes back and forth them. I speak what I have seen from my Father, that ye do what your father has done. Abraham is our father. Well, if Abraham really was your father, you would have done the works of Abraham. I am of my Father in heaven, and I do his works. We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus says to them, if God were your Father, you would have loved me. For I came forth from God, and I am come from him. For neither am I come of myself, but he has sent me. Why do you not know my speech? Here's the hard word. Because ye cannot hear my word, ye are of the devil, your father. And so he had to give them that hard word because they could not hear him when he's speaking these things. They couldn't see beyond themselves. They had to unlearn what they had already learned. They had to put aside what they were standing in, and Jesus had to show them the truth. And what do they respond? In verse 48, Jews answered and said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and thou hast a demon? They obviously don't know the Lord. They are fully rejecting everything that he's saying. Verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if anyone shall keep my word, he shall never see death. He shall have life eternal. He shall know the Father. And the Jews therefore said to him, now we know that thou hast a demon. Abraham has died and the prophets, and thou sayest, if anyone keep my word, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who has died, and the prophets have died? Whom makest thou thyself? In other words, who do you think you are? Not who art thou, who do you think you are? There's no way that this is true, fully rejecting everything that he has said. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom ye say, he is our God. And ye know him not, but I know him. And if I said, I know him not, I should be a liar, like you. But I know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham exulted in that he should see my day, and he saw and rejoiced. The Jews therefore said to him, thou hast not seen 50 years, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, the ultimate hard word right here, before Abraham was, I am. I didn't stop. That's the end of the sentence. I am. And the Jews took up stones that they might cast it at him. And he hid himself and went out. Here is this word that is 100% of heavenly things, that they cannot at all understand it unless it be revealed to them by the Father, that they were willing to take stones and cast it at him. They fully did not believe in him at all and truly rejected everything that he said. Moving on to chapter 9, one of my favorite stories. It's the man who was born blind. Disciples asking, who sinned, him or his parents? And he said, neither. But he is like this so that the Father might be glorified. And verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud of the spittle and put mud as ointment on his eyes. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted, sent. Now, what did the man born blind do? Jesus, I'm sorry, it's the Sabbath. Does this ointment, you know, last till tomorrow maybe? Or, well, actually, you know, the Messiah was supposed to come from Bethlehem, and since you're from Nazareth, I don't know how true this is. Is that what he said? No, he went and washed his eyes. Here is a heart that was truly ready to receive the Lord, not holding on to anything of himself because he was a beggar. He was nothing. He had nothing that was built up that was a wall against the Lord, something that needed to be torn down, that I need to break down all these things that I thought I knew about the Lord so that I can know him. He had nothing. So he could just start off afresh, ready to know the Lord right from the start. He went and washed his eyes and he came seeing. And they asked him, how can you see? He said, a guy named Jesus came and put mud on my eyes and now I can see. And they said, where is he? He's like, I don't know. He didn't know much. And then they asked him, you know, where is Jesus? He was brought before the Pharisees. And he said, he's a prophet. He didn't know much. And going down to verse 34, they called therefore a second time to the man who had been born blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is sinful. The man born blind answered, if he is sinful, I know not. But one thing I know, that being blind before, now I see. That was all he knew. That's all he needed. That I was blind, but now I see. And he talked with them, pleaded with the Pharisees, but they would not hear him, and they cast him out. In verse 35 of John chapter 9, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said to them, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? He didn't even know. And here's that question, who art thou? I want to believe. And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and he that speaks with thee is he. And he said, I believe, Lord. And he did him homage. And Jesus said, for judgment am I come into the world, that they which see not may see, and they which see may become blind. Going forward to John 14, remember, this is a question from Thomas and a question from Philip. Starting in verse 4, and ye know where I go, and ye know the way. Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me. If ye had known me, ye would have also known my Father. And henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. You know the Father and you have seen him. And then what does Philip say? This was the one who led Nathanael to the Lord back in chapter 1. Lord, show us the Father and it suffices us. Jesus says to him, am I so long with you, thou hast not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words which I speak to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who abides in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. But if not, believe me for the work's sake themselves. We see Jesus asked him, you don't know me? You haven't seen? You don't believe? These are all the things. We've been together for 13 chapters now. How do you not know me? You must know these things. It must be revealed to you by my Father. And later on, after he ascends to the Father by the Holy Spirit. See a similar thought in John chapter 10. I'll just read that real quick. The Jews therefore surrounded him and said, until when dost thou hold our soul in suspense? If thou art the Christ, say so openly to us. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works which I do in my Father's name, these bear witness concerning me. But you do not believe. For you are not of my sheep, as I told you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them life eternal, and they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hand. And then verse 37 and 38. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, even if you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Even if you don't believe me, at least believe the works, because you can see them. This is evidence. So that I just want you to know the Father. I want you to believe just so desperately, even if you don't believe in me, at least see so that you can believe. Who does this remind you of? John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into the side, I will not believe, is what Thomas said. And 8 days after, his disciples were again with him, and Thomas was with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be to you. Then he says to Thomas, bring thy finger here. See my hands. Bring thy hand and put it into my side. Be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus says to him, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed they who have not seen and have believed. The Lord wants us to believe. The Lord wants us to know him. That even if we don't believe, he'll try to show us in some earthly way, just so that we can come to him. But when we come to him, when we believe, we must press on to knowing him. Now, we're at chapter 21. But let me read verse 30 and 31 of 20 real quick before I move on. Many other signs, therefore, also Jesus did before his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. Ye may know him truly. In verse 20, in chapter 21, we see that the disciples went fishing. But which disciples were there? Simon Peter, this is in verse 2, Thomas, and Nathaniel. We've looked at all three of them, and there are a few others as well. But let's look at Simon Peter. He confessed that, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. But then, it's not in this gospel, but in Luke 22, the woman said, you were with Jesus. I've seen it. You were with him. And what does he say? He's standing around the fire listening to Jesus' trial. He says, woman, I don't know him. I don't know him. The most wonderful thing that we can do is to know him. And Simon Peter said, I don't know him. And he was one that came in this boat. Thomas, question the Lord. Where's the way? Which way do we go? I am the way. Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see the marks in his hands. And be not unbelieving, Thomas. He was in this boat. And Nathanael believed Jesus because he saw him under the fig tree. And then he fled when Jesus was taken. They're all in this boat. Jesus calls to them from the shore, children, have you anything to eat? And they said, no. And he says, cast your net on the right side and you will catch. And they cast it on the right side of the boat. And they caught so many fish that they could not draw it up. And what does John say? It is the Lord. That he saw the works. And they didn't recognize his voice when he called from shore. They didn't recognize his appearance when they saw him standing on the shore. But when they saw the works, that when they saw what he did, they knew that it was the Lord. And Simon Peter immediately jumps into the water and swims to shore. And they get into the little boat and drag all the fishes, 153 in total, and even with all those fish, the net was not rent. And they come and they see that Jesus has already prepared a fire, and there are coals and there's fish already on the fire, and there's already bread there. And Jesus says, "Come, take of the fish which ye have caught, and let's eat." Come and dine, is what he says. Rather than come and see, come and dine. Come and be with me. Come and know me. This is just a little picture of who the Lord is. That we catch the fish, we think we've done all this, but the fish that they caught, it was because of the Lord. And they come to shore, and the Lord already has fish and food for them. But it was his desire, come, bring in the fish which ye have caught. I know it was me that told you to cast it on the right, but come, bring in the fish which you have caught. I want you to take part in my work. I want you to be a part of this. Even though it wasn't you, it was me, but you believed, and that is enough. And what did they say afterwards? Verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples dared inquire of him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Finally, in Acts 9, we see Paul, another one. This is in chapter 9 of Acts, verse 4. And falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" From there, he went into Damascus, and he was 3 days without seeing, and neither ate nor drank. He couldn't see, he didn't eat, and he didn't drink, so that Jesus could be the living water, the bread of life, and the light of the world, so that he could truly be everything for Paul. And Paul believed. The scales fell from his eyes, and he could see. And what is Paul's testimony? In 1 Corinthians 2, very familiar passage. Most of you probably already know what I'm going to say. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. "For I did not judge it well to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." There is nothing better to know than the Lord. There is nothing else. That is our testimony, knowing the Lord. And if to summarize this, the leadership training conference, the most wonderful thing was hearing Christ. Just another little snippet of knowing who he is from every single believer. Just as Josh said, the church needs the church. We need each other. We need every single one of you to share what you know of Christ. It's not one. It's not a few. It's every single member of the body of Christ knows the Lord. Each of you have seen the Lord. Many of you have believed, and a few of you have known him. But may we all come to know him. May we all pursue after this book the most wonderful treasure that we have. To know him, and to know him alone, is the greatest thing that we can do. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed these things to us. That is not by us, it's not by our wisdom, but it's fully by your Holy Spirit. It's by your Father, it's by you, it's by the Trinity. Lord, it's by in all three of the Trinity working together, and it's by all of us working together, this beautiful communion of your desire for the church, that we would all share in this fullness of who you are. Lord, that all the books in the world could not contain the greatness and all the works that you have done. Lord, that knowing you is the greatest thing that we could ever know, that we could ever do. We love you, Lord. May we pursue you with all of our heart and pursue to know you just a little bit more every single day. In your name we pray.